Chapter 93. A happy return of the day, Mr. and Mrs. Wilfer had seen a full quarter of 100 more anniversaries of their wedding day than Mr. and Mrs. Lammel had seen of theirs, but they still celebrated the occasion in the bosom of their family. Not that these celebrations ever resulted in anything particularly agreeable, or that the family was ever disappointed by that circumstance on account of having looked forward to the return of the auspicious day with sanguine anticipations of enjoyment. It was kept morally, rather as a fast than a feast, enabling Mrs. Wilfer to hold a somber darkling state, which exhibited that impressive woman in her choicest colors. The noble lady's condition on these delightful occasions was one compounded of heroic endurance and heroic forgiveness. Lurid indications of the better marriages she might have made, shone athwart the awful gloom of her composure, and fitfully revealed the cherub as a little monster unaccountably favored by heaven, who had possessed himself of a blessing for which many of his superiors had sued and contended in vain. So firmly had this his position towards his treasure become established, that when the anniversary arrived, it always found him in an apologetic state. It is not impossible that his modest penitence may have even gone the length of sometimes severely reproving him for that he ever took the liberty of making so exalted a character his wife. As for the children of the Union, their experience of these festivals had been sufficiently uncomfortable to lead them annually to wish, when out of their tenderest years, either that Ma had married somebody else instead of much-teased Pa, or that Pa had married somebody else instead of Ma. When there came to be but two sisters left at home, the daring mind of Bella on the next of these occasions scaled the height of wondering with droll vexation what on earth Pa ever could have seen in Ma to induce him to make such a little fool of himself as to ask her to have him. Apostrophe, the revolving year now bringing the day round in its orderly sequence, Bella arrived in the Boffin chariot to assist at the celebration. It was the family custom when the day recurred to sacrifice a pair of fowls on the altar of Hymen, and Bella had sent a note beforehand to intimate that she would bring the votive offering with her. So, Bella and the fowls, by the united energies of two horses, two men, four wheels, and a plum pudding carriage dog with as uncomfortable a collar on as if he had been George IV, were deposited at the door of the parental dwelling. They were there received by Mrs. Wilfer in person, whose dignity on this, as on most special occasions, was heightened by a mysterious toothache. "I shall not require the carriage at night," apostrophe said Bella. "I shall walk back." Apostrophe, the male domestic of Mrs. Boffin touched his hat, and in the act of departure had an awful glare bestowed upon him by Mrs. Wilfer, intended to carry deep into his audacious soul the assurance that, whatever his private suspicions might be, male domestics in livery were no rarity there. "Well, dear Ma," apostrophe said Bella, "and how do you do?" Apostrophe, "I am as well, Bella," apostrophe replied Mrs. Wilfer, "as can be expected." Apostrophe, "Dear me, Ma," apostrophe said Bella, "you talk as if one was just born." Apostrophe, "That's exactly what Ma has been doing," apostrophe interposed Lavi, over the maternal shoulder, "ever since we got up this morning. It's all very well to laugh, Bella, but anything more exasperating it is impossible to conceive." Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer, with a look too full of majesty to be accompanied by any words, attended both her daughters to the kitchen, where the sacrifice was to be prepared. "Mr. Rokesmith," apostrophe said she, resignedly, "has been so polite as to place his sitting room at our disposal today. You will therefore, Bella, be entertained in the humble abode of your parents, so far in accordance with your present style of living, that there will be a drawing room for your reception as well as a dining room. Your papa invited Mr. Rokesmith to partake of our lowly fare. In excusing himself on account of a particular engagement, he offered the use of his apartment." Apostrophe, Bella happened to know that he had no engagement out of his own room at Mr. Boffin's, but she approved of his staying away, We should only have put one another out of countenance, apostrophe she thought, and we do that quite often enough as it is. Apostrophe, yet she had sufficient curiosity about his room to run up to it with the least possible delay and make a close inspection of its contents. It was tastefully though economically furnished and very neatly arranged. There were shelves and stands of books, English, French, and Italian, and in a portfolio on the writing table there were sheets upon sheets of memoranda and calculations in figures, evidently referring to the Boffin property. On that table also, carefully backed with canvas, varnished, mounted, and rolled like a map, was the placard descriptive of the murdered man who had come from afar to be her husband. She shrank from this ghostly surprise, and felt quite frightened as she rolled and tied it up again. Peeping about here and there, she came upon a print, a graceful head of a pretty woman, elegantly framed, hanging in the corner by the easy chair. "Oh, indeed, sir," apostrophe said Bella, after stopping to ruminate before it. "Oh, indeed, sir. I fancy I can guess whom you think that's like. But I'll tell you what, it's much more like your impudence." Apostrophe, apostrophe, having said which, she decamped. Not solely because she was offended, but because there was nothing else to look at. "Now, ma," apostrophe said Bella, reappearing in the kitchen with some remains of a blush, "you and Lavi think magnificent me fit for nothing, but I intend to prove the contrary. I mean to be cook today." Apostrophe, cold. Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined her majestic mother. "I cannot permit it. Cook, in that dress." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "as for my dress, ma," apostrophe returned Bella, merrily searching in the dresser drawer, "I mean to apron it, and towel it all over the front, and as to permission, I mean to do without." Apostrophe, "you cook?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Wilfer. "You, who never cooked when you were at home." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "yes, ma," apostrophe returned Bella, "that is precisely the state of the case." Apostrophe, she girded herself with a white apron, and busily with knots and pins contrived a bib to it, coming close and tight under her chin, as if it had caught around the neck to kiss her. Over this bib her dimples looked delightful, and under it her pretty figure not less so. "Now, ma," apostrophe said Bella, pushing back her hair from her temples with both hands, "what's first?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "first, apostrophe," returned Mrs. Wilfer solemnly, "if you persist in what I cannot but regard as conduct utterly incompatible with the equipage in which you arrived, apostrophe, which I do, ma, apostrophe, first, then, you put the fowls down to the fire." Apostrophe, "to be sure." Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Bella, "and flour them, and twirl them round, and there they go." Apostrophe, apostrophe, sending them spinning at a great rate. "What's next, ma?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "next, apostrophe," said Mrs. Wilfer with a wave of her gloves, expressive of abdication under protest from the culinary throne, "I would recommend examination of the bacon in the saucepan on the fire, and also of the potatoes by the application of a fork. Preparation of the greens will further become necessary if you persist in this unseemly demeanor." Apostrophe, "as of course I do, ma." Apostrophe, persisting, Bella gave her attention to one thing and forgot the other, and gave her attention to the other and forgot the third, and remembering the third was distracted by the fourth, and made amends whenever she went wrong by giving the unfortunate fowls an extra spin, which made their chance of ever getting cooked exceedingly doubtful. But it was pleasant cookery too. Meantime, Miss Lavinia, oscillating between the kitchen and the opposite room, prepared the dining table in the latter chamber. This office she always doing her household spiriting with unwillingness, performed in a startling series of whisks and bumps, laying the tablecloth, as if she were raising the wind, putting down the glasses and salt cellars, as if she were knocking at the door, and clashing the knives and forks in a skirmishing manner suggestive of hand-to-hand conflict. Look at Ma, apostrophe whispered Lavinia to Bella when this was done, and they stood over the roasting fowls. If one was the most dutiful child in existence, of course on the whole one hopes one is, isn't she enough to make one want to poke her with something wooden, sitting there bolt upright in a corner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, only suppose, apostrophe returned Bella, that poor Pa was to sit bolt upright in another corner. Apostrophe, my dear, he couldn't do it, apostrophe said Lavi. Pa would loll directly. But indeed I do not believe there ever was any human creature who could keep so bolt upright as Ma, or put such an amount of aggravation into one back. What's the matter, Ma? Ain't you well, Ma? Apostrophe, apostrophe, doubtless I am very well, apostrophe returned Mrs. Wilfer, turning her eyes upon her youngest born, with scornful fortitude. What should be the matter with me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you don't seem very brisk, Ma, apostrophe retorted Lavi the bold. Brisk? Apostrophe, apostrophe repeated her parent, brisk? Whence the low expression, Lavinia? If I am uncomplaining, if I am silently contented with my lot, let that suffice for my family. Apostrophe, well, Ma, apostrophe returned Lavi, since you will force it out of me, I must respectfully take leave to say, that your family are no doubt under the greatest obligations to you for having an annual toothache on your wedding day, and that it's very disinterested in you, and an immense blessing to them. Still, on the whole, it is possible to be too boastful even of that boon. Apostrophe, you incarnation of sauciness, apostrophe said Mrs. Wilfer, do you speak like that to me? On this day, of all days in the year? Pray do you know what would have become of you, if I had not bestowed my hand upon R.W., your father, on this day? Apostrophe, no, Ma, apostrophe replied Lavi, I really do not. And, with the greatest respect for your abilities and information, I very much doubt, if you do either. Apostrophe, whether or no the sharp vigor of this sally on a weak point of Mrs. Wilfer's entrenchments might have routed that heroine for the time, is rendered uncertain by the arrival of a flag of truce in the person of Mr. George Sampson. Bidden to the feast as a friend of the family, whose affections were now understood to be in course of transference from Bella to Lavinia, and whom Lavinia kept possibly in remembrance of his bad taste in having overlooked her in the first instance under a course of stinging discipline. I congratulate you, Mrs. Wilfer, apostrophe said Mr. George Sampson, who had meditated this neat address while coming along, on the day. Apostrophe Mrs. Wilfer thanked him with a magnanimous sigh, and again became an unresisting prey to that inscrutable toothache. I am surprised, apostrophe said Mr. Sampson feebly, that Miss Bella condescends to cook. Apostrophe, here Miss Lavinia descended on the ill-starred young gentleman with a crushing supposition, that at all events it was no business of his. This disposed of Mr. Sampson in a melancholy retirement of spirit, until the cherub arrived, whose amazement at the lovely woman's occupation was great. However, she persisted in dishing the dinner as well as cooking it, and then sat down, bibless and apronless, to partake of it as an illustrious guest. Mrs. Wilfer first responding to her husband's cheerful for what we are about to receive with a sepulchral amen, calculated to cast a damp upon the stoutest appetite. But what, apostrophe said Bella, as she watched the carving of the fowls, makes them pink inside, I wonder, Pa. Is it the breed? Apostrophe, no, I don't think it's the breed, my dear, apostrophe returned Pa. I rather think it is because they are not done. Apostrophe, they ought to be, apostrophe said Bella. Yes, I am aware they ought to be, my dear, apostrophe rejoined her father, but they ain't. Apostrophe, so, the gridiron was put in requisition, and the good-tempered cherub, who was often as uncherubically employed in his own family, as if he had been in the employment of some of the old masters, undertook to grill the fowls. Indeed, except in respect of staring about him, a branch of the public service to which the pictorial cherub is much addicted, this domestic cherub discharged as many odd functions as his prototype, with the difference, say, that he performed with a blacking brush on the family's boots, instead of performing on enormous wind instruments and double basses, and that he conducted himself with cheerful alacrity to much useful purpose, instead of foreshortening himself in the air with the vaguest intentions. Bella helped him with his supplemental cookery, and made him very happy, but put him in mortal terror too, by asking him when they sat down at table again, how he supposed they cooked fowls at the Greenwich dinners, and whether he believed they really were such pleasant dinners as people said. His secret winks and nods of remonstrance, in reply, made the mischievous Bella laugh until she choked, and then Lavinia was obliged to slap her on the back, and then she laughed the more. But her mother was a fine corrective at the other end of the table, to whom her father, in the innocence of his good fellowship, at intervals appealed with, "My dear, I am afraid you are not enjoying yourself?" "Why so, R.W.?" She would sonorously reply, "Because, my dear, you seem a little out of sorts." "Not at all," would be the rejoinder, in exactly the same tone. "Would you take a merry thought, my dear?" "Thank you. I will take whatever you please, Well, but my dear, do you like it?" "I like it as well as I like anything," The stately woman would then, with a meritorious appearance of devoting herself to the general good, pursue her dinner, as if she were feeding somebody else on high public grounds. Bella had brought dessert and two bottles of wine, thus shedding unprecedented splendor on the occasion. Mrs. Wilfer did the honors of the first glass by proclaiming, "R.W. I drink to you." "Thank you, my dear. And I to you." "Pa and Ma," said Bella. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.